Okay, so this is our Shabbat HaGadol Drasha. So if you're wondering why we're giving the Shabbos HaGadol Drasha on Monday, it's for obvious reasons. So for those of you who were not here on Shabbos, we're going to repeat it. Well, for you it's not a repetition, but certainly for our listening audience, it will be new. And hopefully we can learn something. Okay, so the title of the drasha this year is The Jewish Spring, Why Our Revolution Succeeded. So what we hope to develop is via the Pesach Seder and the Haggadah is two specific nuances with regard to the Jewish Spring, the Jewish Revolution, Yitzhak Mitzrayim, which distinguish it from all other revolutions. One of them, which we'll get to in a minute, but I just want to give you the overview, one of them is a kind of reversed pattern, the pattern of the revolution, and the other is a bridge component, an intermediate stage between going from one regime to the next. All revolutions go from one regime to another regime. In our case, to paraphrase the Gemara in Megillah, that the Jewish people went from being Avdei Paro to being Avdei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, servants of Paro to being servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God. So first of all, the strange order of the revolution. In the history of the world, in the history of revolutions, there's something very counterintuitive about the Jewish revolution. The history of the world, revolutions generally take the following pattern. The revolution revolts against the host country, takes over the host country, establishes sovereignty, and then establishes a legal system. The Jewish Spring, Yitzhak Mitzrayim, begins with the revolution and exiting the host country. The exodus out of Egypt was the first step, not to stay in Egypt, but to leave Egypt. And then to establish a legal system, Kabbalah Satorah, to receive the Torah. And without a country, to establish a legal system, to establish sovereignty in Eretz Yisrael without even getting to Eretz Yisrael. So it's this unique reversal, and with the unique emphasis on leaving the country, and why, in fact, we didn't stay in the country to make the revolution work, is something that we will see will indicate us in the direction of the uniqueness of our revolution. So the first item on your sheet, actually number two on the sheet, we'll talk a little bit about Yitzhak Mitzrayim, understanding the uniqueness of Yitzhak Mitzrayim in Yahadus, in Yiddishkeit, in Jewish thought, and perhaps we'll put it in perspective as to why the revolution, so to speak, has to begin with Yitzhak Mitzrayim. So first you have the Ibn Ezra. Now this is really my favorite Ibn Ezra, not so much because of the content of the Ibn Ezra, but in the unusual manner in which he presents the case. This is a comment of the Ibn Ezra in Parshat Yitro, in the Aseret HaDibrot, and he's discussing the first Dibur, the first of the Ten Commandments, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and the belief in mitzvah to believe in God. So Vayomer, so Ibn Ezra says like this, She'alani Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi Menuchato Kavod. So what I love about this is you have the poet laureate of the Jewish people asking a question, Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi, asking a question to the master of prose, to Rabbeinu Avraham Ibn Ezra. And again, the fact that this is presented in a question and an answer format is important to us. It's not by accident. And it's really out of character in the literature of the Rishonim to get even this personal. And yet the Ibn Ezra chooses to get personal and says that he was asked a question by Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi about the mitzvah of Amunah B'Hashem, Lama hizkir anochi elokecha asher hotzeiticha me'eretz Mitzrayim? Why does the Torah tell us God says, I am the God who took you out of Egypt? That's why you have to believe me. V'lo amar she'asiti shamayim va'aretz. Why doesn't it say, believe in me because I'm the God of creation, I'm the God who created the world? The Ibn Ezra goes on to explain that the uniqueness of mentioning Yitziat Mitzrayim, the uniqueness of the experience of the Exodus of Egypt and HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking us out of Egypt, the beginning of our revolution, is that it demonstrates the specific and unique and singular relationship that HaKadosh Baruch Hu enjoys with Klal Yisrael. The creation of the world was for everybody, but it was not experienced by anybody. Even Adam HaRishon, even Adam and Eve didn't experience the creation, Maisa Bereishis, until the sixth day when it was almost over, they came on the scene. So Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Ibn Ezra goes on in a very lengthy discussion to explain that Yitzias Mitzrayim is the source of our relationship with God, that He loves us, the oneness of God, Hashgacha Pratis, divine providence, that He cares about us, and that the Jewish people are unique to Him, and He takes us out in order to give us the Torah. Then you have the Ramban, which is number three on the sheet. And the Ramban also, this is an important Ramban, it's in Parshas Bo, where he talks about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides signs and wonders and miracles to demonstrate important moments in Jewish history. But because he just couldn't. Bavur ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo yaseh ot umofet b'chol dor. Yitzaveh otanu shenaseh tamid zikaron v'ot l'asher ro'o einenu. V'na'atik ha'davar el banenu u'bneim livneihem. So he takes one miracle, the miracle of the Exodus from Egypt and all the attendant Nisim miracles, which were a part of the Exodus, and they become the standard. They become, this moment of Yitzias Mitzrayim represents the fact that God has a unique relationship with us. It is the source of our emuna, of everything. Yitzias Mitzrayim is the source of everything in Torah. The Ibn Ezra, we see it in the Pasuk, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that you believe in me, the Torah says believe in God because He took us out of Egypt. It's the source of our emuna, it's the source of our shmirat ha-mitzvot, performing mitzvahs, it's the source of Torah, it's the source of everything. In fact, the first time, and this is number one on the sheet, the first time that Kabbalah HaTorah, the receiving of the Torah on Har Sinai is mentioned, is in relationship to Yitzias Mitzrayim. The first time that Kabbalah HaTorah, that central moment, receiving the Torah is mentioned. And number one, Vayomer ki eheye imach, I'll be with you, v'zelecha ha'ot, and this is the sign, ki anochi shlachticha v'otziacha es ha'ami Mitzrayim, when I send, this is the sign, when I send the people out of Egypt, ta'avdun et ha'elokim ala harazeh, you will serve God on this mountain, referring to Har Sinai, referring to the receipt of the Torah. So the Kabbalists put it in a different way. The Rishonim bring from the Zohar that Mitzrayim, right? Why couldn't the revolution take place in Eretz Mitzrayim? Eretz Mitzrayim was the most fertile land in the world. So why did the pattern change? Mitzrayim is Otiyot Meitzar Yam. Meitzar Yam means the border, the boundary around the sea. Now, Rabbis, Kabbalists explain to us that Yam represents infinity. Torah is infinite. Torah is in infinity. Egypt was the opposite. It was the photo negative opposite of infinity. Mitzrayim was this world, was Gashmias, was materialism, was anything but infinite concepts and infinite notions. So Mitzrayim had a boundary around itself. And Torah had to be beyond borders, beyond borders. Mitzrayim represented a bordered situation, an ending situation. And Yam, the rabbis tell us, that the sea is Mayim She'en Lehem Sof. It is waters that has no end. And the Vilna Gaon says in his commentary in Mishlei that Torah is Rucha Me'eretz, is Rucha Me'eretz Mida, Urechava Mini Yam. Mida is 49 in Gematria. The Torah is Midah. Midah is 49. That's 7 times 7. We're getting to the Sefirah period. Our world is in periods of 7. Aretz. Eretz is Midah. It's 47. 7 times 7. 7 days to the week and so on. Beyond 49, beyond 7 is 50. 50 is the numerical equivalent, the mathematical representative of infinity. So Torah couldn't be given in Egypt because Egypt was Meitzar Yam. In order to receive the Torah, we had to break away, break loose beyond the borders of Egypt in order to receive the Torah. The exodus from Egypt was necessary to receive this infinite gift of the Torah, which points to the fact of our revolution being so different than their political revolution. Other revolutions were about changing things for themselves. Our revolution is about changing ourselves. Other revolutions is about what we want. Our revolution is about what we want to become. Other revolutions are about standing up to the world in a political sense. Our revolution is about changing the world for ourselves and for the entire world by receiving that legislation, by writing that constitution, by receiving the Torah. So you see how the pattern is so crucial, and the component of Yetzias Mitzrayim is so crucial in contributing to the success of our revolution. Now, if Yetzias Mitzrayim is so important, so it has to remain in our consciousness. And in fact, it is, according to many Rishonim, a mitzvah d'oraisa, one of the 613 Taryag mitzvahs in the Torah, is Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, to remember the exodus from Egypt. It stands to reason. We say in the Haggadah, Hare ani kiven shivim shana velo zachiti shetei amar. I didn't understand until I learned the pasuk, Yemei chayecha, the days of our lives represent the kol hayamim, to remember Yetziat Mitzrayim during the day, and kol yemei chayecha is to include the nights. So we have a mitzvah to remember. Zecher, Yetzias Mitzrayim, we say it in Kiddush, we say it in so many places and so many moments in Jewish life. Question: who is the greatest codifier of mitzvahs? The Rambam. Strangely, the Rambam does not list Zechirat Yetziat Mitzrayim as one of the 613 mitzvahs. And we have to understand why. So Reb Chaim, in your sheets, you see in number 4, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, the great Gaon Reb Chaim, tells us a tremendous chiddush. The Rambam doesn't list the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim as a separate mitzvah because it is already part of another mitzvah, the mitzvah of saying Kriyat Shema. The mitzvah of saying Shema twice daily, Yemei Chayecha and Kol Yemei Chayecha, during the day and at night, is the mitzvah of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, accepting our submission to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, accepting God's sovereignty, being an Eved Hashem, a servant to God. That mitzvah of Kriyat Shema includes the phrase which relates to Yetzias Mitzrayim in the third paragraph. So part of the mitzvah is included in the Rambam. It's part of the mitzvah of saying Shema, part of the mitzvah of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, which means that Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is about Avdus. To remember that God took us out of Egypt is a mitzvah to remind us that we are Avdei Hashem, that we are committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'Torasa, to God and to His Torah and the lifestyle that He's given us through the Torah. That's the Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's about Avdus. It's about serving Him. Now, problem is that comes the night of Pesach, we have a second mitzvah about Yetzias Mitzrayim. There's a mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why do we have another mitzvah? Why isn't Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, to remember the Exodus, enough? Why is there also a mitzvah of Sipur, of telling it over, of Higadat Levincha, to tell it over to our children? So let's look at 5, and let's read through 3 important halachas in the Rambam, in Hilchos Chametz Umatzah, in his Laws of Pesach. So the Rambam writes in Perek Zayin, Mitzvat Aseh Shel Torah L'saper B'nisim V'niflaot She'na'asu L'avotenim B'mitzrayim B'leil Chamisha'asar B'nisan. It is a positive mitzvah in the Torah, one of the 613 mitzvahs in the Torah, to relate the Exodus and the miracles of the Exodus on the night of Pesach. And he brings his proof text and he goes on and he tells us why it's that night, the night we came out. And then in the next halach he says, mitzvah lehodia lebanim. Now we'll just go over this and we'll come back to some of these points. Mitzvah lehodia lebanim, the mitzvah is to tell our children, vafil lo shalom, even if they don't ask. What does he mean, even if they don't ask? Obviously, the Rambam seems to be telling us that it's better if they ask. But even if they don't ask, and we'll relate to this a little later, but even if they don't ask, shenemar v'higadat levincha, you must tell your children, the Torah says. And then the Rambam says, lefi dato shel ben aviv melamdo, according to the ability of the child, you teach him. Keitzad, how? Im haya katan o tipush. These are other words we have, the Balagoni uses different words. He calls the katan as the eino yodea lishol, the one who doesn't know how to ask. And the tam, so if he's a katan or a tipish, a simple son, or a child who doesn't yet know how to formulate a question, omer lo bini, you tell him, my son, kulanu hayinu avadim. We were all slaves, kimo shifchazu o kimo eved zeh, like these servants who are helping us with the Seder. B'mitzrayim u'balayil hazeh, padau tanu HaKadosh Baruch Hashem, took us out of Egypt. If the child is a chacham, then you go into much more detail, the Rambam says. And then the final halacha we want to see now, v'tzarech la'asot shinui b'layil hazeh. We make changes. We do strange things the night of Pesach, the Seder night. Kedei she'yiru habanim. So the children will see v'yishalu. And the last, v'yomru, ma nishtana halayil hazeh mikol elo. Why is this night different? Right? So what do? We move the table. In the time of Chazal, they would eat on separate tables. Today we don't do that, but you know, we, at a certain point, the Seder, the Haggadahs will give you the instruction to remove the Seder plate, to remove the matzahs, to bring it back. All of this is designed so the child will ask. The Briska Rav says that's one of the reasons why we wear a kittel at the Seder. So the child will ask, why are we wearing a kittel tonight? Okay? And then he says, the Rambam says, and this will be very important for us, the Rambam says, Ein lo ben, ishto shavalto. If there's no child, the wife should ask the husband. Ein lo isha, if there's no wife. Sholin ze et ze, the men ask each other. Ma nishtana halayla ze. Va'afilu hayu kulo chachomim. Even if all of the people at the table are Torah scholars, talmid chachomim. Or haya levado. Listen to this one. Even if you're having your Pesach Seder alone by yourself, Shoel la'atzmo, you ask yourself, ma nishtana halayla hazeh? You ask yourself, ma nishtana halayla hazeh? And you answer the question, what's going on here? What's this all about? So in fact, Rav Chaim points out that there are three issues that distinguish the general mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim and the mitzvah on Pesach night of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And one of them is that the mitzvah on Pesach night, the mitzvah of the Seder, is derech sheila v'tshuva, is in the format of a question and an answer. And we have to understand why. Why is that so? Why does it have to be? And you see how dramatic it is. That even if you're sitting by yourself, you have to, why don't we just simply sit there, take the Haggadah, and let's do the dayenus. Just go through the dayenus and dayenu, and let's eat. You know, a few years ago, I was visiting one of my children in Boston, and in the window of a Judaica store, they advertised a Haggadah. It was called the 30-minute Haggadah, the 30-minute Seder, the Haggadah that combines, that blends brevity with tradition. $6.95 in paperback. There's another Haggadah. If you go to Slate magazine, you'll see the 2-minute Haggadah, Passover for the impatient. But really, when you think about it, why not? Why can't we just read off the Dayenus? Go read off some of the points. What's the questions and the answers? So it is clear that there's something else at play here. That the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is not only a mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, telling over the Exodus, but it is a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It is a second mitzvah. We have a mitzvah in the Torah. One of the 613 mitzvahs is to study and teach Torah. But there seems to be another mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and that's the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's why, by the way, very beautifully, if you'll just skip for a minute to number 7, you'll see that at the beginning of the Haggadah, at the beginning, just before the introduction of the children, so that Agoda says, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenasan Torah L'Amo Yisrael. Right? Baruch, what's that all about? Why are we saying that? Why do we say Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenatan Torah L'Yisrael? What's that all about? So Rav Soloveitchik very beautifully, elegantly points out that this is Birchat HaTorah. Since the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, it requires a bracha. It's a Torah commandment. It requires a bracha. And this is in lieu of Birchas HaTorah, we say Baruch HaMakom HaMakom Shenasan Torah Le'amo Yisrael. The question is, how do we know that it's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Well, if you got it to Levincha V'yom Ahu, you're talking to your children, that's what you're doing. But more than that, if you look in 6, this is just a little example from the fourth chapter of Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Laws of Torah Study in the Rambam. The fourth chapter of the Laws of Talmud Torah, the Rambam shows us how the classroom works. And in 9 halachas, the verb shoalim, to ask, is mentioned in various forms no less than 16 times. Here's an example. Ein sholin et harav kishi kanesh lemedrash. You don't ask the rabbi as soon as he walks in. Achi tityashev daito. Give him a chance. Right? Vein ha-talmid sholosh kishi kanes. Right? Vein sholim shnayim kecha. Two don't ask at once. Vein sholim et harav me'inyan acher. Don't ask him from something else that you're not studying. Right? He goes on and on. Sheila, sheila. Because it's obvious that the process of education, the process of Torah education is derech she'ela v'tshuva, is questions and answers. So this really points to the fact that our mitzvah, the night of Pesach, of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, is a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But I want to suggest to you a nuance here. This mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is not just a subtext of the other general mitzvah of Talmud Torah. This mitzvah precedes the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. This mitzvah is the preamble, it's the paradigm of Talmud Torah. Remember, we've established that everything comes from Yetzias Mitzrayim. The exodus from Egypt, the miracle of the exodus from Egypt, is the source of everything in Yiddishkeit, our emunah, our faith, our bitochen, our trust in God, our mitzvahs. And if it's the source of everything, then it has to be the source of HaMitzvah HaGadol Mikulam, Talmud Torah, the study of Torah. So this notion that Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is a mitzvah, it is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It predates the mitzvah that was given on Har Sinai. To discuss the exodus from Egypt, this is the first founding mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Now we have many, many svarim, many books, Rishonim, Achronim, so many books about Torah, studying Torah, analyzing Torah, going deeper and deeper into the text. The Haggadah is unique. Of all the books that we have, the Haggadah, unlike all of the other Sifrei Kodesh, the holy books that we have, the Haggadah is a teaching manual and a parenting manual. The Haggadah is designed to teach us how to teach our children, how to teach ourselves, and how to parent our children. And that's the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Questions, derech she'ela v'tshuva. Let's see, it'll come out. Look at the children, at number 7. The children are defined, how are the children defined? By their age, their height, their weight, by what they're wearing. They're defined by the questions that they ask. The definition of each child, he is defined by his question. Chacham mahu omer. Haggadah represents the Chacham's question, but that defines him as a Chacham. Eini yodei lishol. That's a very strange phrase for this kotni. Because throughout Shas, even the Rambam himself we saw in his halacha, refers to the child as a kotni. In classical literature, an under bar mitzvah child is called a kotni, as opposed to a gadol. So why does the Baal HaGadah refer to him as an Eino Yodei Elisha? The Baal HaGadah is defining what a katan is. He's defining the difference between, what's the difference between a katan and a gadol? Is the ability to ask a question. The purpose of the Seder night is to draw this Kotan, and he should celebrate, all children should celebrate their bar mitzvah at the Seder, to bring him from being a child, from being an Eini Yode Lisho, to being a Yode Lisho, to ask the question. We take it a step further. We saw in the Rambam that we do shinuyim, we do differences, distinctions. We take the Seder plate, we move it, we bring it back. All designed, why Kadeshi Yishalu Hatinoko, so that the children will ask. So let's play this out. You're sitting at the table, you take the Seder plate, and you move the Seder plate out. And the child says, Abba, why did you move the Seder plate? Oh, very good question, but why? So you would ask. Ask. But what's the reason you moved it? I moved it so you should ask. The point being that the question is the answer. The question is not simply the methodology of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Derech Shela V'Tshuva, asking questions, is not just the methodology of the mitzvah of studying Torah. It is the essence of studying. If a child feels that he's not allowed to ask questions, if he can't ask a question, that's not chinuch. That's not education. That's not Talmud Torah. And if it's an education, if it's a learning experience without the freedom to ask a question, then that's not, the child will never learn. No one will ever learn. I saw recently that Leon Wisseltier, some of you might know, he was the author of Kaddish, that he's the literary editor of the New Republic. And he usually says things that are right on. But he said something that I strongly disagree with. This week he wrote a review of the New American Haggadah. The New American Haggadah. And in his review, he writes that the essence of the Haggadah, I'm just going to quote from him, the Haggadah is all about... is more about the prestige of the answers than the prestige of the questions. So we disagree. What we're suggesting here today is that the Haggadah is all about exercising the freedom to ask, teaching our children to ask, and not just the children. Not just the children. It's all about feeling the ability, the sense of freedom that I can ask a question. I can have doubts. There are things that I don't understand. And it's all right not to understand. It's all right to ask the question, the freedom to ask. If Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, the other mitzvah of remembering Egypt, is about avdus, is about submission, is about being an Eved Hashem, then the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is about being, in a certain sense, a master of Hashem. Exercising the freedom, the intellectual freedom to ask a question. In fact, look at number 11 on the sheet. The Rambam, again the Rambam, in the middle of the second line, the Rambam in this eighth chapter in Perek Ches of Hilchos Chametz and Matzah is going through the order of the Seder. And he writes here, Mozgin HaKos HaSheni, you pour the second cup, V'kan HaBen Shoel, and here the son asks, Va'omer Hakore, and the leader of the Seder says, Manishtana Halayla Zemikolos. What's wrong with this picture? Something's wrong here. Now there is another girsa, there is another text of the Rambam that says, V'kan HaBen Shoel Ve'omer Manishtana, but that's not our text. That's not the standard text of the Rambam. The Rambam says, V'kan HaBen Shoel Ve'omer Hakore. So what does it mean that the son is asking? And then the father responds, Manishtana halayla, it's the old Jewish joke. You answer a question with a question. The only thing is, it's not funny. Because that's exactly the purpose of the night. To teach him how to ask a question. And not only that, that not only the children ask, V'kana ben shoel, V'omer hakore, and then the father says, Manishtana, good question. I also have a good question. Let's deal with both of our questions. Again, two mitzvahs. The mitzvah of Zechira, of remembering Mitzrayim, is the Avdus component, that we are Avodim. The mitzvah of Sipur, Derech Shela V'Tshuva, the freedom to ask a question, is the freedom component. I'm both an Eved to Hashem, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want me to be a zombie. He wants me to be able to feel the sense that I can in fact, I'm free, I feel free to ask a question. In fact, look at 9. This is Halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Sholim v'dorshim behilchos ha-Pesach kodem ha-Pesach shloshim yom. This is a very familiar halacha to us. 30 days before Pesach, which happens to be on Purim, we're supposed to start asking questions and providing answers about Pesach. We review. But that's not what it says. It says, it doesn't say sholim v'onim. We ask and we answer. It says sholim v'dorshim. We ask and we ask. Because the question is not only the methodology, the questioning, the freedom, the intellectual freedom, and the ability to ask questions, and even to doubt, that is the essence of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, one more point that cannot be avoided. One of the 4 children is the Rasha. It always bothered me. It's embarrassing. We wash our dirty laundry in public. Why do we have a Rasha at the table? But more strange is that the Rambam, in the halacha we saw earlier, if you go back to it very quickly, let's go back to number 5, and the Rambam says in the middle, in Halacha Beis, that the mitzvah is to tell over to the child, to relate to the child according to his ability. And the Rambam says, according to the ability of the child, l'fidato shel ben, ketzer how, if he's a katon or tipish, i.e. if he is the enyo de lisho, or the tam, you tell him such and such. If he is the chacham, if he is the wise son, you tell him such and such. Who's missing? Where's Waldo, as they say, as the kids say? Where's the Rasha? The Rasha is not in the Rambam's halacha. Why not? Where's the Rasha? Where's the Rasha? What happened? So if you look in number 8, the Vilna Gaon, in a majestic interpretation of the Ben Harasha, the wicked son, explains really majestically what's going on here. If you notice in the Haggadah, you will see that the Rasha and the Enyo de Lisho, the child who doesn't yet know how to formulate a question, and the Rasha, the evil son, both get the same answer. Why? Why do you give the same answer to the Rasha that you gave the Enyo de Lisho? The one who didn't ask a question. Explains the Groh, what the Groh is essentially saying here is that sometimes a question is not a question. What do you need all this nonsense for? As the Gemara Yerushalmi points out, what do you need this tircha for? All this bother and this problem of changing the dishes and kashering the whole 9 yards, what, this whole Seder, let's just eat. What do we need to say all these things for? Sometimes a question is not a question. Sometimes a question, the Rosh's question, undermines the pristine and melodious symphony of Derech Sheila V'Tshuva, of that holy process of asking questions and giving answers. He doesn't ask a question, so he gets the same answer, so to speak, that the Enyo de Lisho gets, the one who doesn't ask. And more to the point, we say, if he would have been there, you would not have been redeemed. Leave alo lo. He doesn't say leave alo lecha. He's talking to the Rasha. He should be. He says leave alo lecha. Me and not you, but he doesn't say that. He turns to the other children, the Vilna Gaon says. And he says leave alo lo. Me and not him. So is he at the Seder? He's there. But he's treated as if he's not there. He's there. And he's not there. You know what this is reminiscent of? This is reminiscent of the classic halachic child Rasha in the Torah. And who is that? The Ben Sora Remora, the rebellious child. The Gemara says, and you'll find this in number 10 on the sheets, that the Ben Sora Remora, listen to this Gemara, Ben Sora Remora lo haya velo atid lihiot. The rebellious child, this terrible child, never existed and never will exist. Velama nichtav, so why is he written in the Torah? Dorosh vekabel schar. Classic understanding of this is study it. Study the Torah's portion of the Ben Sora Remora, and you'll receive the reward for studying Torah. So ask the Torah's Chayim, one of the Achronim, one of the later commentaries on the Gemara, what kind of business is this? What do you mean study and receive a reward for what? How can something that has absolutely no application to us, not yesterday, not today, not tomorrow, why should we study it? Why should it be part of the corpus of Torah? I mean, we study many mitzvahs that don't apply to us today. All the laws of Karbonis. But the Rambam brings all the laws because Sheyavo, Biyameinu, Bimheira, we'll have the Binyan Beit HaMikdash and we'll have Karbonis again. But why study about Lo Hayav Lo Atid Lihiyot, that the Ben Sorimah will never exist? So Dorosh V'Kabel Schar. So we want to suggest that Drosh V'Kabel Schar means something else. Drosh is Loshen Drisha, to ask a question. Teach him, Dorosh. Teach this child, teach your child to ask questions. Teach him in a way that he feels he can ask questions. And then, lo haya v'lo atid lihiyot. But if you don't, if you're not Doresh, he will appear at the Seder. So is he there or is he not there? It's up to us. The Rambam leaves him out of the halacha, but puts him in the Seder. So in a certain sense, he's there. Potentially he's there, but potentially he doesn't have to be there. And it really is up to us. So now, we see that our revolution experience is generally understood. Again, all revolutions go from one regime to the next. We see what's happening in the Arab Spring. They go from one intifada to another intifada, right? From Vayoka Melech Chadash, some say Melech Chadash Mamish, or Shenit Chachu Gzerotav. But for us also, it's one regime to another. It's going from Avdei Paro to Avdei Hashem, from servants of Paro. But that intermediate stage, that bridge of Derech She'ilah V'tshuva, the freedom stage, the ability to feel, to know, the comfort level that I feel that I can ask a question, that intermediate stage is crucial and has always been crucial to the success of the Jewish revolution, the success of Jewish life. The freedom to ask a question. I think I should share with you that Havel, the great, the late, he was a poet, he was the leader of the Czech Republic, the revolution that led to the Czech Republic. He said that our revolution, Czech revolution, was politically successful, but it was intellectually a disaster. And it's because of this notion, because of the notion of Exodus, because of the notion of that intermediate step, that our revolution was politically successful. It was politically successful then, when we came into Eretz Yisrael, and we conquered Eretz Yisrael, and took Eretz Yisrael. And it was also intellectually successful because of Derech She'ilah V'tshuva. And that's why we started out with the Ibn Ezra. I believe it's not an accident that the Ibn Ezra puts into his, at the opening words of his comment that we saw in number two, right? Sha'aleini Rabbeinu Yehuda Halevi. He asked me a question and I answered him. Because he's demonstrating that this whole process is about Derech She'ilah V'tshuva, asking questions and providing answers. In fact, Rav Huttner points out brilliantly in Pachad Yitzchak, in Maimer Hay, that even David HaMelech, King David, in Hallel, and we say this at the Seder night, in Betzeit Yisrael, presents the Exodus from Egypt in question and answer form. Malach HaYam Kitanus, HaYardein Tisof Dechor. Right? Why is the sea splitting? And so on. I think there are four questions there. People skip this step, and that's a tragedy. The freedom step, it's not just zechira. It's not just about remembering the Exodus and being obedient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our Kabbalah, if our Kabbalah's Torah, our receiving the Torah has any meaning, it's because we were free, that we can challenge, that Rabbi Shem wants us to challenge him, to become an Eved through freedom. That's the purpose of the Seder night. Not to be compelled, the liberty to understand, the liberty to ask. That's the chiddush, the nuance of Derech She'ilah V'tshuva, of asking questions and answering questions. Slaves are not part of history. Free men are part of history. That's why Naaseh V'Nishma came before Kafu Alei Marga Gigas. You need both. But now listen to this from Rav Soloveitchik. It is impossible to foresee what kind of a question a child will ask. Quite simply, children's minds work differently from ours. Provoking children to ask and arousing their curiosity does not mean working with them for weeks before Pesach to memorize a text. The mitzvah is that the child should ask spontaneously and not be coached in advance. Children have their own naive questions, formulated in their own way. It can be four questions or only one, depending on the intelligence, curiosity, and precociousness of the child. The Manishtana, according to Rambam, as we saw, was not designed for the child. It's too difficult a text. Rather, the one who presides over the Seder says Manishtana. This is the way my grandfather, Rav Chaim, used to do it. And because of Rambam's position, every member of the household, adults as well as children, would say Manishtana, for we no longer follow the practice of having one person recite the Haggadah on behalf of everyone else. The problem today is not to get kids to ask questions. Kids ask questions. That's what kids are all about. Ki yishalcha bincha, the Torah says. When your child will ask. So it's a given. Children ask. That's what they do. The challenge is that to keep them, keep asking questions. Kan shoal haben v'omer hakore, as we said, and not only children should be asking questions. Let me ask you a question. When are all the good questions asked? Generally speaking, all the good questions are asked by five-year-olds. Those brilliant questions that kids ask. But why do we stop asking those questions when we're 55? Is it because we have the answers? Or is it because we just stopped asking the questions? And that would be a tragedy. We have to ask, we have to continue to ask questions. Intellectual curiosity is at the source of the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. That's why it has to be Derech She'ela V'tshuva, questions and answers. Not just for the children, but for all of us. And not everybody, unfortunately, subscribes to this. I love the mantra that people say when they're confronted with a potentially compromising halachic problem, dilemma. So they counsel each other, whatever you do, don't ask the rabbi. Or the other one, Rabbi, I'm not asking you to paskin, but what would you say theoretically under the following circumstances? Okay, that's not us, because people who come to a Shabbos Haggadol Drasha are dorshim, are seekers, and are questioners, and we want to continue to ask. So we've said there are two mitzvahs of remembering the Exodus. One is Zechira, and that relates to our avdus, our subservience, our submission to HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'Torato. And the other is Sipur, which relates to the questioning, the freedom to ask, the ability to even doubt and to ask questions. The tragedy in our world is that there are people who raise their children in total freedom, in total Sipur, give them their iPod, their iPad, their computer, and whatever you want to do. And that leads, unfortunately, to terrible phenomena like the half Shabbos phenomenon that we're dealing with today. And on the other side of the coin, you have people who raise their children with total zechira, total avdus, to be an Eved Hashem, do this, do that, don't ask any questions. And that also leads to terrible phenomena like off the derech and with the ugly moments that we've lived through in Beit Shemesh, and the price tag situation. But the Haggadah tells us that you have to have a balance. We have to raise ourselves and our children with a balance between Zechira and Sipur. And the Haggadah says it best. The Maisa, which is number 12, Maisa b'Reb Elezer, v'Reb Yeshua, v'Reb Elozer ben Azariah, these five Chachamim who were sitting in Bnei Brak, hayu mesubim b'Bnei Brak, v'hayu mesaprim b'Yitziat Mitzrayim kol oto halayla. They were involved in the mitzvah of Sipur, the mitzvah of the freedom, asking their questions, exercising their intellectual curiosity and freedom. And what happened? Along came their children, their Talmidim, in the morning, and they said, what did they say? Rabotai, higia zman kriyat shma shel shacharit. Remember what we said? According to the Rambam, the mitzvah is in Kriyat Shema of Zechirat Yetzias Mitzrayim. He doesn't list it as a separate mitzvah. What's going on? What are the children saying to their teachers, to their parents? They're saying, freedom? Very good, but you taught us well. It's not just freedom, it's time to say Kriyat Shema. It's time to accept Zechirat Yetzias Mitzrayim, to be Avadim. And Dafka, the lesson comes through the students, through the children. You know, children crave authority. When the children are out in the playground and it's 8 o'clock, and one father comes out and he takes his child, you have to come in. But the other children aren't coming in, but you have to come in. And he begrudgingly comes in, but he feels good about it. He looks over his shoulder and he sees that the other kids see that my father cares about me, right? That's what's going on here. The balance between Zechira and Sipur. The balance between being an Eved Hashem, being submissive to him and totally submissive to his Torah and his mitzvot, but also that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have the freedom of Sipur, the freedom to ask and continue to ask until we understand. And David HaMelech really said it best, and this is the last item on our sheet, and it's a pasuk that we say every Shabbat in Psukei Dezimra, in Tehillim Lamed Dalet, and it hit me a few weeks ago when I was thinking about the drasha. And I was davening Shabbos morning, listen to this pasuk, and I believe it says it all. Dorashti et Hashem va'anani. Dorashti et Hashem. I asked Hashem va'anani, and he answered me. Derech she'eilah v'tshuva. Even, not just fathers and children, but with the ultimate kaviyochel avinu shebashamayim. Klal Yisrael is asking questions to God directly, and he answers us. U'mikol migurotai hitzilani. And he took me out of all my migurotai, all my trials, all my tribulations, but migurotai, all the places where I lived in, where I was a ger. And what's the yesod, the source of all of our gerut? Yitziat Mitzrayim. Mikol migurotai yitzilani. Through derech she'eilah v'tshuva, dorashti et Hashem va'anani, I asked and he answered, u'mikol migurotai yitzilani. And through derech she'eilah v'tshuva, through that questioning, through that coming close to him, that act of freedom, exercising my ability to understand, he takes me out of Egypt. May we all enjoy a wonderful Seder experience with our families, with our friends, and may we experience the freedom which will bring us to the ultimate Binyan Yerushalayim HaBnuya B'mehera V'yameinu. Amen.
Amen.